You're listening to the Kitchen Obsessed podcast. Every week, we discuss the challenges facing modern restaurant kitchens and the technologies to help solve them. Now, here's your host, Sean Schenkel.
Hi, everyone. This is the Kitchen Obsessed podcast, and I'm Sean Schenkel. This podcast focuses on the evolving challenges facing restaurant kitchens in 2023 and beyond, and specifically how emerging technologies and changing operational approaches can help solve those problems. As always, our goal is to make this podcast useful to operators. And to that end, please let us know what subjects you'd like discussed by emailing us at podcast@freshtechnology.com. As long as it has to do with operational and technological problems and solutions in and around the kitchen, we'll look at hosting an industry expert to discuss it, or maybe even you. All right. Today, we are talking to Chris Demery, the Chief Technology Officer of Blaze Pizza. Blaze is a national fast casual chain that focuses on delivering exceptional quality at lightning fast speed. Their pizza is fresh, never frozen, with made from scratch dough using healthful artisanal ingredients on the assembly line. Their customer promise is to provide classic to inventive pizzas made on a blazing hot oven with a dedicated pizza smith at 180 second cook time. And this equals fast fired, perfectly crisp perfection. So to deliver on that promise, we are going to talk speed of service. Chris, it's great to have you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here today.
All right. So first, describe a little bit more about Blaze Pizza's mission, service style, et cetera.
So Blaze Pizza started about 10 years ago with a model that was following the Chipotle model of you walk into a fast casual location, you walk the line, you select the ingredients you want. And our mission is to provide that healthy, fresh ingredients on a pizza so you don't have to feel like you're indulging yourself with a thick crust or anything like that. So our crust is traditionally thin, baked to perfection with healthy ingredients on it. The original mission was to provide a go-to place during lunch for the person that wanted a reasonable meal at a relatively low price and could get in and out in less than 30 minutes.
Okay, so this feeds well into our topic for today. So one could argue that speed of service, measuring speed of service, sticking to 180 seconds is core to the value prop of delivering fresh food to the lunch crowd who could be in and out in 30 minutes. So A, is that a correct assessment to say speed of service is core to that value prop? And B, how do you think about it as a brand?
It's critical to our value proposition because the 180 seconds is the cook time in the oven. We also have to put in front of that the walk the line time. So the greeting time and, you know, what kind of crust do you want? So our overall goal is to get somebody from the front of the line to the end of the line in less than 5 minutes. That's while their pizza is being made. And then it still needs to cook for a minute and a half or 2 minutes. So you're going to have your food, hopefully within 8 to 10 minutes, so that you can sit down and take 15 to 20 minutes to chat with your friends and eat your food and enjoy your meal, and then get out of there in less than 30 minutes.
So you think about it in a couple of different ways. One is hello, sort of the greeting aspect. That's an interesting thought too, because typically we think in a full service restaurant, a speed of service is time inside of the kitchen. But since, you know, a lot of fast casual models, but really even yours, the Chipotle model, the greeting, the guest engagement is really intertwined with the food prep. So speed of service is really both that engagement as well as the actual preparation and cooking of the food, right?
Yes. And it also, I think about it also another way in that once something comes out of the oven, it's not necessarily ready to go to a guest, because what's happened in the last 3 years is off-premises dining has exploded and took our 8 minute, 9 minute model and turned it on its head, because now we have to predict when people are going to come in and pick up their food. So they're no longer walking the line with us. Now they're ordering remotely and adding on. So we have to package it. We have to wait on them, and we have to make sure it's ready for them to pick up or hand over to their driver. So there's really the pre time before it gets cooked. There's the cook time and there's the packaging, bagging, depending on the order type, time that we add onto that.
All right, so let's dive into this because, correct me if I'm wrong, but Blaze does not use a KDS system, kitchen display system. Is that right?
Correct, we do not.
So I want to unpack the off-premise and the on-premise because I think those things are very, very relevant. But how many locations does Blaze have?
We have 340.
340. So as a brand, you've got to be considering how to measure and enforce speed of service, delivering on that customer promise brand wide. So without a KDS, how do you approach sort of, you know, managing speed of service, measuring speed of service, et cetera?
Well, we don't do a really good job at it today. Our model is we greet you and start making your product before we have any technology that intervenes and takes any form of timestamp. So we don't take your order up front and make you pay for it, but we start making your product. When you get to the end of the line, we know what you ordered because we have some manual methods in place to know that you ordered a pizza and a salad and a drink, and then we ring you up and cash you out. So we don't do a good job of it today because the only technology we have is when we put the order into the point of sale and when the order is cashed out. As an operator, those are the normal techniques you would use, the two timestamps of when the order starts and the order ends or is finalized. So our technology, while it works great for in-restaurant, does not really do us justice for off-premises. So that's why we're looking at different technologies in order to enhance our ability to measure speed of service.
Okay, great. So let's expand on that some more then. We can enforce an experience at least, and I guess it's hard to measure for when customers are in front of the line, in the line, in the store. You definitely can impact the experience because the customer's walking down the line, adding to the pizza. And if it takes 8 minutes or 10 minutes, there's a customer engagement there. And so much like the server or the host stand would do in the past, you are in a full service environment. You can manage that guest expectation. Obviously, that goes away when we come to off-premise. My first question before we start to get into the technology approaches, and so as we think about how to sort of expand and share experiences for others who may be listening, when it comes to off-premise, when are the pizzas being started? Because obviously the goal of delivering, of really measuring speed of service is not only to make it efficient in the kitchen, but to deliver hot food hot and cold food cold. And so I would imagine, or I wonder if there's some opportunities to satisfy sort of that guest experience of either they get there and their food is just coming off out of the ovens and it's just bagged and prepped. So it's still hot. Has that been a problem? In other words, has it been a problem where food has been made too early ahead of time or too late? And if so, how are you thinking about solving that?
So in our restaurants, we have two make lines. We have our digital make line that handles all our digital orders, and we have our walk the line make line. So you ask a very intriguing question, which is what we're trying to solve. When you're walking the line, the guests can see that their food is progressing at a normal rate. And so that's kind of easy from a guest satisfaction perspective. For the off-premises guest, the digital guest, the time starts when they believe they place their order. In their head, that's when the pizzas or the product's going to get made. In reality, it's falling into the kitchen or going into the kitchen technology, and it could be behind 10 people standing in line, or it could be at the front of 10 people standing in line. And so we start the time for those products using our online ordering and e-commerce technology. So that helps us because that's really the start of the order. And then it finishes. We don't have a finish time for those products other than an estimated time that we use. So we estimate how long it will take. And then that's what we tell our guests is that your product will be ready in 15 minutes or 17 minutes. So come and pick it up. The issue is when you hit volumes, when you have walk the line volume and digital volume together, that's when your predictability sort of goes out the window because we all know guests, they eat when they want to eat, and sometimes you can't predict when they're going to order. And so we do the best we can to bring those two lines together and to bring our estimates together. We're looking at new technology that would allow us to become more predictable, because if we can know exactly how many guests are in line and how many products are going to be in the oven during the next 15 to 20 minute period, we can become more predictable when those digital orders would also be coming out of the oven.
Yeah. So do you look at solving that then through like a food and beverage system, a restaurant management system? Are you thinking about it from a KDS system or a bin management system? How are you thinking about solving some of that with technology?
Well, originally we thought about solving it with a KDS, but KDS would only really work for the digital line because we know when the product goes in and we could bump it when it comes out. But because we don't put the order for walk-in guests into the system at the front of the line, the KDS approach sort of falls apart. So we've looked at a couple different things. We've looked at putting a register at the front of the line, not to take payment or anything like that, but essentially to tell the system an order has started. And so that's one of the things we're looking to prototype, just to get a start time for the order. And then we would have an intermediate time when they paid for the order at the end of the line, like I said, about 5 to 6 minutes later. But keep in mind, at that point in time, the order's still not ready. So you really have to tag on another piece of equipment or technology when that order comes out of the oven, has the drizzles applied to it, has been plated or boxed, and is truly ready for the guest. Because most people bump a KDS, a kitchen display system, when the food comes out versus when it's truly ready. At Domino's Pizza, the system we built was a driver and a driver tool and also a self-service tool that you told the system the order's out the door. So that's how Domino's Pizza becomes more predictable, is they have the technology implemented at the right locations. What I want to tell the operators is most of these systems don't understand your manufacturing process. You have to work with your vendors to put those measurements in place where they work for you.
Yeah, working with vendors to get the measurements in right place. And part of what that is looking like for Blaze is some type of a technology to issue a timestamp at the beginning of the process. So whether it's point of sale, putting a POS station there, or some other type of a tracker, right? Something to start something. So it may not be the traditional use of a POS system, but it is used in a way that basically helps enforce or start, give you the I'll call it the left side of the bookend of speed of service. And then for you entering it in the pause or taking payment for Blaze, when it comes to working with vendors to put in the right measurements, that would be sort of the second to last stop along the way. How are you contemplating sort of filling the last gap that Domino's filled by basically putting the tracker that says the driver is now taking this? Because yeah, that makes sense. That's when the food is actually being delivered.
So because I've done it at Domino's, I did it at Bloomin' Brands. You know, I've built these systems twice. My thought is most operators that live within the four walls of their restaurant don't do service to the guests outside their restaurant. And what's really happened in the last 3 years is COVID has exacerbated the convenience factor of all of our guests. So everybody wants it where they want it, when they want it, how they want it. And it's turned a lot of our operations on its head because we don't treat those guests as well as we treat our dining guests. So I think what's required or necessary is a tool for that hospitality person that's going to say, I know your order is ready and I can hand it to you. And so in my architecture as a technologist person and as a business person, I need to put in place a tool that allows somebody on my team to say, Chris's order is ready and it's just gone out the door. That will be the final step in the model of speed of service. So start some manufacturing timestamps in the middle, and then once it goes out the door, that would give me a complete picture.
Okay, that makes sense. And that is sort of whether in-house or working with the vendors, sort of, you know, it's important to install sort of that life cycle, those like the trackers of the full life cycle.
Correct.
So I'd be curious now, for off-premise, Do you have a methodology by which you're measuring when the guest is getting the food? Is it hot? Are the drivers having to wait for it? A lot of brands will do just CSAT scores, customer satisfaction scores is what that means. Are you all measuring that off premise? And if so, how?
So we use a couple different measurement tools today. We use Tattle, ServiceCheck, and Birdseye. Most of our data comes from off-premises orders. So we look at net promoter score, overall customer satisfaction, speed of service is part of that, as order accuracy is part of that. I'll tell you the delta between our dine-in scores and our off-premises scores. And what I found in the last three businesses I've been in, and it's pretty typical. So from a dine-in perspective, you can have net promoter score and order accuracy and customer sat in the 90s, because operators know how to take care of their guests because they're standing in front of you, right? Typically, your off-premises can be 20 to 30 points lower, which is abysmal. And it is because we don't have the ability to accurately predict when that item is going to come out of the oven for that driver or guest. So I joined Blaze Pizza with the number one focus was to become the number one most predictable quick serve restaurant. You know, that was my mantra with the CEO. And, you know, so I've been working several years in order to implement the technology that would help our operators close that gap between off-premises OSAT and dine-in OSAT.
Yeah, that's really good. And I don't know if you have done, any lifetime value, like LTV assessments or ROI, or, you know, basically how financially the business is impacted by that 20 point lower customer satisfaction score or, you know, NPS, net promoter score. Have you tied that to either LTV or just, you know, sort of the financial impact of those lower scores? Have you done any work on that?
Not while at Blaze Pizza. The closest I did was when I was at Bloomin' Brands. Your ability to become predictable and to close that gap increases frequency oftentimes up to 200% for that off-premises guest.
Okay, let's just highlight that. So that's a direct correlation between the ability to predict accurately speed of service correlates to, in your experience, increased sales, sometimes up to 200%.
200% for that guest.
For the off-premise guest. That's huge.
Yes, it is huge. I continue to tell everybody, every place I go, we are all about convenience. And if I can find somebody that predictably delivers what I want, when I want it, how I want it, I'm going to go there almost every time. Just because, you know, a lot of people have kids in soccer, lives are pretty crazy. And so if I can find a predictable place, I will go there more often than I will choose to go someplace else just for variety.
Yep, that's powerful. And it's also, it's a testament to why measuring speed of service, again, just to reiterate, speed of service being historically, it's been basically how long it takes to prepare an order inside of a kitchen, but especially there's always been packaging or plating. That's always been a factor in it. But yeah, typically in a dine-in scenario, as soon as it hits up on the expo, they're pulling it together and running it out to the table. So that is maybe a little bit more negligible than an off-premise. Really, speed of service needs to expand to consider like packaging, getting it ready and handing it off to the driver. And so basically what we're hearing is not only is this important for just running an efficient business, even from an EBITDA perspective, it also can increase the top revenue coming into the restaurant because the predictability directly translates to guest satisfaction and repeat visits.
So you're absolutely correct. What's most important, I believe, is that by capturing speed of service metrics using technology, you can develop a historical model that will allow you to deploy labor at the times you need to deploy labor.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not here for a labor discussion, but as operators, we all know we periodically introduce new products. And new products always take extra time to manufacture, whether it's going through an oven or going down the make line or whatever it happens to be. So by having a model of normalcy for your restaurant, you can periodically compare new products to your manufacturing time or your guest prep time or your packaging time, and to see if you're falling outside the boundaries that allow you to be profitable. So I like three or four parts to that measurement, that speed of service measurement, because I can evaluate each part for normalcy reasons to determine if something's impacting my operations. Do I have a under-trained team making products one night, or you know, what's the issue causing my speed of service problem?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's not only efficiency in the general sense, delivering on guest satisfaction, it's also impacting how we, and really this is the core, right? This would probably be the core or the foundation of why measuring speed of service matters. It is so that we can make better decisions about employees, right? So do I need to add more training or not? Do I need to add more or less bodies with the right skill sets? But then also to your point about menu mix and product mix, right? So being able to have a clear data around, you know, make times, cook times, et cetera, in action, right? That's what speed of service is. It can influence, you know, how we can better over time design our menus so that we can deliver on the guest promises that we're trying to deliver on.
Yes. What's very interesting is to see the mix of guests. You know, we talk about menu mix all the time. Some of our locations are 70% off premise on a Friday night. But, you know, Friday night's the busiest night. Everybody will tell you that in the restaurant in business, or should be. But when your mix of guests shifts from 70% walk-in to 70% carry-out, you have a whole different restaurant environment problem, because you have a bunch of people standing waiting on their food versus a bunch of people sitting down going through the line or going through the line and sitting down. And so you have to deploy your teams differently. So a side effect of collecting good speed of service data, it also allows you to know, where's it coming from? Is it coming from digital? Is it coming from walk-in?
Yeah, that's good. All right. So that is a clue on how to help interpret speed of data so that you can better deploy teams in the right spots at the right times. This is, we have so much conversation about, you know, speed of service being sort of a core foundational metric to run a profitable restaurant. But you're really sort of helping us unpack why. And so, because, you know, whether it's managing labor, right, to this, like where to deploy at what times, or who to send home or not, menu mix, and I would even say probably product mix beyond just even menu, right? So you're going to most likely you're using packaging, plasticware, et cetera, for off premise. And if it's 70% on a Friday night, you know, you need to make sure your inventory is, you know, matches that. And you might not be doing as many dishes, you know. So I think it is a valuable metric to be able to sort of like extrapolate better financial management and production management across the whole restaurant. Okay, so as we sort of land the plane and wrap up here, I'd love if you had one or two clear takeaways for so SMB operators. I think we talked a lot about the need for speed of service, but ways that they can improve speed of service. And here's the caveat, with or without a KDS system.
So the first thing I would say is, don't think of speed of service, as you've mentioned, simply as how fast it takes me to cook my food, because that's not going to change, in my opinion, that's not going to improve your overall ability to manage your business. You need to think about the life cycle of the guest. You want to put measurements around the guest experience for both dine-in and carry-out or delivery. Because convenience is key these days. I mean, our mix is 30% off premises. It's huge. So we have to pay attention to the both of those pieces. As you're working to understand that process, put your measurements throughout that process where you can. There's varying methods to do that. Even the last one I've looked at is, it's not facial recognition, but it's guest recognition. So they can tell when guests walk in and walk out, and it gives you a timestamp of how long they were there. But you want to look at that holistic experience and then measure that and leverage that to manage your business.
Yeah, that's really good.
I answered both questions. So
I actually think this is a perfect takeaway because, and actually it's an expansive thought in general. And that is, speed of service is not just how long it takes to cook food. Speed of service is how long, I mean, it's the name, right? It's the speed and the predictability by which you serve the guest on the life cycle of the guest. They either entered the restaurant or started engaging in the experience with the restaurant to when they got their food. And so measuring along the way with that, really a KDS would just be one of the tools. And it's probably, you know, it's probably one of the best tools available today to be able to do that. But it doesn't work, to your point, in every environment, right? And so an aligned environment where you're building it as you go, like you had said, it's not, you need something that digitally stamps the beginning of the order. KDS is really just a smaller part of how to best unpack and measure speed of service so that we can deliver value to guests.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for just sort of expanding on this in this conversation. I know we talk, like I said, we talk a lot about speed of service. It's a key component. I think the predictability is right. I was blown away by what you were mentioning about 200% improvement if it's consistent. And as we all know and like to say, you know, what gets measured gets managed. And so measuring speed of service beyond just cooks, beyond what it takes to process it through the kitchen, is sort of key. And this is good not only from an operator to operator, but even from an operator to technologist perspective, because as those who are building technology, we also need to be thinking much wider than just the components of the kitchen or the guest. We need to be thinking about these traditional terms and measurements in sort of this new world that we live in. So thank you very much for being here, Chris.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, this has been a great conversation. So thank you all as well. And we hope the new year is getting off to a great start and that your 2022 ended strongly. And as always, we hope you have a good week in the restaurant business and stay tuned for more. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Kitchen Obsessed podcast. If you work in a restaurant and are interested in appearing on the podcast, send us an email at podcast@freshtechnology.com and tell us your story. We'll be back next week with more tips from the kitchen.